Swiss Radio International.
Well, Bob, the last couple of hours of the life of the shortwave station in Schwarzenburg.
Bob, it is a very moving moment to stand here in a hall, empty as empty can be, except two, three transmitters still in operation. When I started working with the outfit in 1954, the halls were filled with transmitters galore. And now it's a sad moment to see most of the transmitters already dismantled, sold to other countries, to broadcasting stations other countries.
You could play a tennis match in here right now, almost play football.
That's for
it's
sure.
That empty.
That's for sure.
Yeah. It certainly looked a lot different, as you say, in the old days, Bob, and certainly when we go back to the very beginning, just around the war years, 1938, 1939, the origins, this place was buzzing with excitement, and it had a very long tradition.
Yes, indeed. The very first steps actually took place in 1934, when Studio Basel started with a weekly report for Swiss abroad. And this went over the medium transmitters in Beromünster.
Medium wave.
Medium wave. And then a year later, somebody had the idea that these transmissions could be aired via transmitters of the League of Nations down in Prangin, Geneva, operated by the former Radio Swiss company.
That station is still there, actually.
The station is still there. Mm-hmm. But these transmissions over short waves took on so well that the Swiss government thought it would be appropriate to have an own transmitting center, and the PT&T was given the mandate to look for a suitable piece of land where such a station could be built. And the choice fell to a rather wide plain very close to Schwarzenburg, where we actually are today. Mm-hmm. It was in 1938 when the government agreed to the plans of this new station in Schwarzenburg, and construction started immediately. But in springtime 39, the station became operational. Unfortunately, just a few months after, it was on the 6th of July, there was a big fire destroying the entire station.
After all that,
and allegedly due to a human malfunction and what have you. Anyway, reconstruction took on immediately, and it was in winter 39-40 when the station was rebuilt and even extended to house additional equipment for radio telephony.
Let's turn around and go to the entrance hall, Bob. We're just speaking here in the shortwave broadcasting room where the transmitters were kept. And now we change the acoustics because this is dead silence here except for the echo in the hall. There is nothing here, but I can remember the first time I came to Schwarzenburg. That was a big moment for me. In 1968, I believe, I came here, was received by one of the technicians very cordially, and I was greeted by an entire room full of smaller transmitters. And here's another place that could easily qualify as an Olympic tennis court here. And now it is nothing but what's called the museum, full of old parts, old transmitting tubes, parts of transmitters of a bygone era. But this entire room was filled. I don't know the exact number. There must have been 18 or 20 smaller transmitters in the heyday. And I can remember signs on each one of them. For example, New York, Rio de Janeiro, Cairo,
Buenos Aires, and so well.
Buenos Aires. This was a day when there were no communication satellites, and everything, international telephone links were by a radio telephone and shortwave.
Right where we're standing here now, Bob, were the two first AM transmitters, 25 kilowatts. That's when broadcasting in 39-40 began, with two Marconi-licensed transmitters built by Hasler in Bern.
Which was a Bernese company.
Bernese company, of course. And so the program went on, took on quite well, so gradually it was extended. But the supply of shortwave transmitters was so scarce, it was so slow in reconstruction, that perhaps an interesting item, one of the radio amateurs, he was among one of the first technicians here in Schwarzenburg.
And many of them were radio hams,
yeah,
weren't they?
Built his own amateur transmitter, and when the war broke out, all these amateur transmitters were confiscated by the PT&T, except this particular the transmitter came back to Schwarzenburg, and a 500 watt amplifier was added, and from now on this 500 watt amateur transmitter was H24, around the clock in operation for broadcasting. How about
That's
that?
It's a pretty well-built ham radio transmitter,
yes,
also proves that you didn't need too much power in those days to do the job. Things have changed a lot. Today we talk in 500,000 watts, 500 kilowatts,
That's right.
as being normal for broadcasting.
That's right. Now, I mentioned that with the rebuilding of the transmitter, an extension took place to host additional transmitters for radio telephony. And I remember Schwarzenburg not only became a transmitting site for broadcasting, but also for radio telephony, very much in evidence and important during the World War II.
Those are those examples I mentioned before.
Exactly.
Those key cities and destinations.
That's right. And of course, we had in Bern, they built the radio telephone terminal control center, it was called. And there we had additional five-band privacies, they called them. It was a means to scramble radio telephone
calls. Keep people from eavesdropping.
Yeah, to provide the privacy.
Pretty advanced for the time.
Yes. And this, of course, I was actually in Bern at the control center then, but Schwarzenburg as a transmitting station was, of course, our tool.
Let's walk over here a little bit, Bob, past these interesting pieces of equipment. I mean, there's at one time that some of these things are incredible, these old tubes which were used to fire up and operate these transmitters. And again, what strikes me is the emptiness of this place. It has become more and more empty as time has gone on. It seems every few months when I would come by for a friendly visit, there'd be one less piece of equipment here.
Yeah, Bob, an item which might be of interest is, you know, during the war, the borders, the Swiss borders, were blocked by Nazi occupation. Of course, to provide supply of our nation, we had to build up our own merchant navy. And to avoid our own ships being torpedoed by the German submarines.
And Switzerland was neutral, of course, not involved
Switzerland
in the war.
Neutral. The position of each ship was given out daily over this Schwarzenburg broadcasting station.
So the Germans could hear it.
So the Germans could pick it up. They were advised this was coming, and they could inform the headquarters marine center there in Kiel or wherever it was, that Swiss ships in this position must not be torpedoed. And that the ships themselves, of course, they were in wireless communication with a special service located in Dübendorf near Zurich, and they exchanged daily reports about their position.
There was also a lot of other historic transmissions coming out of here. I think, for example, the Chronicles broadcast regularly during the war by Professor von Salis. These were listened to. Switzerland, and certainly the shortwave service of Switzerland, was one of the few sources of objective, reliable information during the war. And it was very difficult also from the journalistic point of view what to say, because on the one hand, you had to be objective. On the other hand, the country was surrounded by Axis forces at one point in the war. So there was an awful lot going on here. I'd like to walk over to this corner of the room, Bob. It's like going back to the scene of an old battle or some historic event and standing here and saying, at this point, they did this and they did that. Just imagine. And it wasn't that long ago, Bob, I've got my foot up on a pedestal here, which used to be the anchor point for one of two transmitters that were very, very close to your heart. They were HEB Berner Radio.
Well, that's right. It was in 71 when Swissair approached the Swiss PT&T for a service, an HF service, which provided contact between the dispatch management in Swissair with their airplanes. And so we took up tests, and finally the institution of Berner Radio became a fact. And it was a great moment, Bob. We had two remote-controllable 10-kilowatt Siemens transmitters. Mm-hmm. Very fast switching, which was, of course, very important, because aircrafts never wait a long time before you answer them. It must be almost instantaneous. And, of course, we had additional fast-turning log-periodic antennas as well. Mm-hmm. And that was a great thing. And
This was radio telephone, basically, radio using telephone. Single sideband.
Well, it is sad news, actually, Bob, to report that Sberna Radio, that the aeronautical service, will also come to an end mid-1998, because most of the aeronautical transmissions went to satellite, and, of course, another decay of shortwave appliance.
Well, on the other hand, a lot of this equipment, Bob, is still in operation, some of it anyway. The two Sberna radio transmitters were sold to Italy, where they're currently used as broadcast transmitters from Milan. And the other ones we mentioned, the radio telephone transmitters, the ones that were taken away some years before, I understand they were purchased by a religious broadcasting organization and were put up in South America.
Also, the big transmitters here, the 250-kilowatt BBC transmitters, are bound to go to Italy.
Oh, careful, when we say BBC, it's not British Broadcasting Corporation.
No,
Brown Boveri, the Swiss mate. ABB, BBC.
Oh, ABB, right. Yeah, the name changes.
Okay, we're in the broadcast section here now, where we can hear the cooling fans. Here's our program going out at the moment.
Radio Svizzera Internazionale.
Bright voices on a rather somber occasion, at least here in Schwarzenberg, Bob. This is the Brown Boveri. I think it goes back to the 1970s, if I'm not mistaken. We're running about...
The kilowatt forward power.
Okay, forward power is 150 kilowatts.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bob, it's hard to imagine that at one time this Schwarzenberg transmitter was, for me anyway, a landmark, and I think for many other people. And the idea of it coming down, no longer being the main outlet for the shortwave voice of Switzerland, would almost be like the Eiffel Tower being dismantled in Paris, or for New Yorkers, the Empire State Building being dismantled. I have a lot of that feeling. It's almost emotional. And at one time, people were proud of this transmitter. They were so happy to have it here. For them, it was a symbol of independence, especially during the war years. There was pride. It was the voice of Switzerland going abroad. They would go on vacation and be able to tune in and hear the news coming from Schwarzenberg. And for the many people around here, they could visualize the cows grazing under the transmitter and the green fields and the mountains around it, because this is very much the scene right now as we speak. So, Bob, where did it go wrong? Why did it go sour?
Well, I guess it's a change of our society, Bob. We have on one side, everything is so money-minded, so economical. Costs become too heavy, so you have to cut down labor work here. You have to close down stations here and there again. And Schwarzenberg, unfortunately, also followed the same pattern.
Well, Bob, that's the official side of the story. It became... economically too expensive to operate Schwarzenberg. But we also know that there was another very important issue here, and that was the environmental issue. For many years, people complained of television interference. They saw their TV programs disturbed. Even their other radio reception was disturbed by Schwarzenberg. I mean, we radio hams know this problem, and we deal with it very quickly because it's the correct tactic to deal with a problem and clear it up as quickly as possible for the sake of goodwill. Unfortunately, in the operating bureaucracy, those responsible for operating the transmitter at the time, nothing was done. And it went on and on and on for too long, and people got more and more frustrated and even angry. And then, of course, the issue of environmental protection came out. People complained they didn't sleep. And an environmentalist activist came in and talked about everything from insomnia to cancer being caused by Schwarzenberg. And the press got involved in my personal view, a rather destructive campaign resembling a witch hunt. And so the snowball started to roll and became an avalanche, and there was no stopping it. And that really, I think we would have to admit, is the overwhelming reason for closing the station, and not simply a pure economical question.
Yeah, that's right. In the beginning, of course, the PT&T started to cable the entire surrounding of the station, free TV, free radios, over cable, but unfortunately...
Too little, too late.
Much too late.
Yeah.
And then the environmental problem came on, and Bob, this is a sign of our modern society. There's high-strung, nervous, stressed people that had sleepless nights, headaches, and I believe they were more than happy to find a scapegoat in form of this electromagnetic monster which destroyed their sleep and their headaches and what have you. Bob, I'm pretty certain after the closure of Schwarzenberg, the headaches will return after a while. What's then?
I could say just philosophically, Bob, it's really fascinating to see how something that can be so honored and be such an object of pride for so long and become so despised in the end that it leads to its downfall. I'm rather skeptical, as you are, that the closure of Schwarzenberg is going to cure the ills and chills of the local people, but there's nothing to be done about it. The avalanche was triggered off and there was no stopping it.
Nothing lasts forever. And whether we like it or not, I believe we do have to accept this decision, although for us it is a sad moment to accept it. Unbelievable in a way that a setup like this should really be closed down, but these are the facts and the figures.
When you get hit by it, you know, something as reliable as Schwarzenberg used to be, we would tune it in even at home, get the ground waves so we could always hear the SRI programs, and we're going to tune to those frequencies now in the future, and there'll be nothing but dead air. But the short waves will continue, and nothing is on the market now or in the technology to rival the simplicity and the cost-effectiveness of a simple portable shortwave receiver. And that will stay for a long time. Also, there's talk now about digital shortwave, which will improve the quality and reliability of shortwave.
Yes, and we haven't seen the end of transmission from Swiss Radio International. The Schwarzenberg frequencies will be taken by other relay stations, either in Germany, either in Singapore, Beijing in China for the time being, and also in Africa. All the relay stations which have been in operation will, of course, continue transmitting SRI programs.
Bob, very soon they'll be closing up. I can remember coming here and seeing, oh, half a dozen technicians going around at any one time. As we said before, the room filled with transmitting equipment. It was a great place if you were interested in the technology of shortwave broadcasting. Today, it's a patient on its deathbed, and in a matter of a couple of hours, someone in Bern will pull the switch by remote control and close it down forever. The last technician on duty will be leaving here in a couple of hours' time. We can't even be here when the great switch is pulled, but what we can do is go home and follow it off the air on our receivers at home, as our program to South America is the last one to be broadcast by Schwarzenberg outside of Bern.
At 2400 GMT, and the last look out of the window here, Bob, all the masts, the curtain, antenna, and all the feeder lines going there, very soon this will be dismantled and come down.
It's very close to a human being dying. The brain will cease to exist, the vital organs, and it will be nothing more than pure materia lying there without any impulses or intelligence to it. Bob, it's with great homage and with a great deal of sadness that you and I had the privilege, the dubious privilege, of being the last guests here to comment on the death of Schwarzenberg. So, Bob, let's proclaim that in a matter of a couple of hours, transmission from Schwarzenberg will be QRT, going out of service, the end of an era.
Yes, indeed. And it's with some sadness and nostalgia in our eyes and voice, the station will come down and leave worldwide a great loss in the list of shortwave stations.
And a lot of heavy hearts here among the technicians who may have been given replacement jobs or very generous early retirement packages, but for them it was their life, and it's a very bitter pill they have to swallow. We have to say so.
It's a memorable occasion and a sad moment, actually, Bob, to witness this closing down business of Schwarzenberg here, which will worldwide leave a big hole in the list of famous shortwave stations. In the hope and planning for the future, new 300 kilowatt transmitters were bought, hoping that the curtain array antenna could be modified and make suitable to take this 300 kilowatt power. And all this, Bob, today is to no avail. But mind you, transmissions from SRI will not be closed totally, the frequencies of Schwarzenberg will be taken by other transmissions in Germany and all the relay stations we have. The only station remaining in Switzerland is the 500 kilowatt transmitter at Sotton. This so far is still in operation. I hope it will.
All right, Bob, let's go home and listen to the station go QRT.
Yes,
out of service.
Indeed.
9,905 megahercios para América Latina.